morning we get to look more at how He full redemption will give from all our sins, namely through His Son Jesus Christ. And we'll read about His suffering again. This time we'll read from John 18, beginning at verse 28, through John 19, verse 16. This morning we will be thinking about Jesus suffering under Pontius Pilate. So as we read, maybe the children can try to keep a count of how many times we've run across the name Pilate in our scripture reading. We begin reading John 18, beginning at verse 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, that is, evildoer, we would not have delivered him up unto you. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it you of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited or wreathed a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, they said, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore he that delivered thee unto you hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, from that time, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And Pilate therefore heard that saying. He brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the king, unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. The theme for the sermon is why emphasize Jesus' suffering under Pontius Pilate. I want to think about that also in line with the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answers 38. And I have it in the bulletin for you under the quotes. Why did Jesus suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? You can read with me there. That he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Well, may God bless us as we think about this subject together. The Boston sermon was singing from Psalm 261 based on Psalm 98, and the title of the psalm is The Victories of Jesus Christ. The Victories of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if you thought about it much, if at all, why in the Confession of Faith, in the Apostles' Creed, we every time again mention that Jesus suffered not only, but that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. It is interesting to observe what others have noted, that the only other human being mentioned in the Creed, besides Jesus, is a godly mother and a godless politician, a saint and a scoundrel. And surely we can defend Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the Christian Creed. But why include this Pontius Pilate every time? Interestingly, in the Nicene Creed as well, we confess about Jesus that he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. Why do we mention Pontius Pilate in this confession of faith every time? Isn't it a monstrous disgrace for Pilate to be named in the church's confession throughout the centuries and throughout the world? Another question related that can be raised is why especially highlight even this Pontius Pilate as one under whom Jesus suffered? I mean, didn't Jesus suffer under so many others as well? Like, what about his suffering under the betrayal of Judas Iscariot? And his capture and unjust trial before the Sanhedrin? What about with the denial of Peter? And what about when Jesus was terribly mocked and ridiculed by Herod? And think too of the brutal and most shameful and painful abusive mistreatment that Jesus received from the soldiers. What about all the lies and the endless scoffing from the religious leaders against him? Considering this all, you might ask, really, why do we emphasize specifically and repeatedly that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate? These are good questions to ask, and I hope you with me will find out. It's really good to reflect on this whole matter. The Heidelberg Catechism is wanting us to think through what Christians confess in the Apostles' Creed. It can so easily happen that we just say these things and go through the motions without really thinking about them. The Catechism asks question and answer 38, why did Jesus suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? And the answer given is that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Well, let's dig into this a little more. And hopefully it will leave you moved and stirred deep in your soul with the wonders of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Our theme is, why emphasize Jesus' suffering under Pontius Pilate? The focus now, under Pontius Pilate. And I want to mention, dear congregation belonging to Christ, four reasons for emphasizing that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. It is for scriptural reasons, historical reasons, salvation reasons and praise reasons that we focus on Jesus' suffering under Pontius Pilate. Scriptural reasons, historical reasons, salvation reasons, and praise reasons. So what was the first reason? Simply for scriptural reasons, we could say the creed emphasizes Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. You know, the great and classic creeds of the Christian church are actually just faithful summary statements of what the Bible says and teaches us. The scriptural basis of the Christian creeds too is what makes them so long-standing and so precious to God's people in all ages, all over the world. And who here will not agree with me that the scripture reading of this morning, John 18, verse 28, John 19, verse 16, surely makes most clear how Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. In fact, in the verses we read, as I challenge you to think about, you know how many times the name Pilate is given to us? I count at least 15 times in just the passage we read. And you know, the reality is as well that all four Gospels emphasize this point, that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He's mentioned in all four Gospels. And if you check two other scriptures besides the Gospel books, you will find it mentioned over and over that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. For instance, Peter proclaims in his Holy Spirit's preaching in Acts 3, verse 13, quote, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." In Acts 4, 27, 28, too, while the disciples and believers were in prayer, they say, quote, "All the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Here we learn that Pilate is mentioned, yes, in Jesus' trial before him, and it's mentioned as no surprise to God. It's all part of the whole plan of God. And then in 1 Timothy 6, verse 13, we hear the Apostle Paul say to Timothy, "I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession," etc. Do you hear this from these few references? How often this man, Pontius Pilate, is repeatedly mentioned under whom Jesus suffered. Well, let's ask here, who was this Pontius Pilate that the text mentions so often? Children, what do you know about this Pontius Pilate? Pilate was appointed by the Roman Emperor Tiberius to be the Roman governor and judge over the region of Judea and Samaria. And Pilate had this position from the years AD 26 to 36. So for 10 years, this man was the highest imperial officer and judge in the region where Jesus lived when he was here on earth. Pilate's authority over all persons in his area where he had dominion, his authority, except for over Roman citizens, his authority over others was virtually absolute. Pilate alone could also authorize the death penalty, a power that was taken away, you know, from the highest court of the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin, when their land came under Roman bondage and the Roman yoke. Pontius Pilate, at this time in history, you could say too, he represented the highest rule of the land, not only, but also the best system of justice and the best form of court justice available in world history at that time. Pontius Pilate, in his position and power, he represented the administration of law and justice at its best. the Romans at this time, they had an ideal for their court system, which in English reads, let justice be done though the heavens fall. So in being brought now before this Pontius Pilate, under his judgment, in Jesus' case, it was like being brought before the world's supreme court, the best court.
You know, I read about the son of Gaddafi being caught in Libya this past week. He has to appear before the court, before the judges. Which judge should he appear before? For the ones that are in Libya, or for the international court? Which do you think he prefers to be brought before? But the court in Libya, what kind of justice will be there? What kind of court will that be? Will that room type of court? You can't compare that at all to Jesus, but my point is, Jesus was brought before the highest court and justice of the land and world at that time. What's most interesting also to observe is that scriptures itself, already in the Old Testament, foretold Jesus coming under foreign authority and judgment. Yes, patriarch Jacob already, way back in Genesis, prophesied about this in Genesis 49 verse 10. Sitting there, how when the Messiah would come, in that time, the scepter would have departed from Judah. That means the rule of the land, now the court, would have departed from Judah. In the days when Jesus lived here on earth, Israel as a nation had lost its freedom already for some time. It was only a very small part of the Roman Empire. The scepter had departed from Judah. Therefore, Jesus, suffering under Pontius Pilate, called the Roman governor, Matthew 27, verse 1, is but another verification, you could say, that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the promised one of the scriptures. And in coming when he did, he suffered even as a Jew under the bondage of others, under foreign rule. In addition to this, we know Jesus himself, he forewarned his disciples that he would be delivered to the Gentiles and be put to death, and the third day rise again. And there are many text references, I'll just give you one, Luke 18, verse 32 to 33. The point now is, dear congregation, we confess Jesus' judgment under Pontius Pilate. Why? Because scriptures assert it over and over. And always with whatever confession of faith we make, the true Christian and the real Christian church wants to be what? Scriptural above all. Is that not your and my confession as well, and conviction? That Jesus also suffered under Pontius Pilate. Our scripture reading of this morning brings out beyond any question. Isn't that true? Three times at least we read this morning that the Roman judge, this expert of the law, Pontius Pilate, he affirms professionally Jesus' complete innocence for all the charges brought against him. Chapter 18, verse 38, 19, verse 4, and again 19, verse 6, state Pilate's clear verdict. I find in him no fault. Yet, see how Pilate, out to save his own skin, instead of ruling justly, he lets the people determine Jesus' final verdict. Pilate, even before the final verdict comes, tried to sway the people to let Jesus go. He most unjustly lined up Jesus with Barabbas, who was a well-known political bandit and terrorist and murderer. He would have the people make a choice between these two. And to have that as the choice was gross injustice by itself. Pilate, we see also, he orders, we're told, the most brutal punishment of Roman scourging on Jesus. Though Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, not guilty of any charges against him, yet Pilate ordered that Jesus be scourged, whipped on his back in a way that his flesh would open up to the bones with the whipping. How unjust this was. Allah did it just to try to get the crowds to pity this man, to let him go. It was to no avail, as the scripture passage tells us. But it was terribly wrong that he did that. Do you see that with me? He suffered, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. In the end, for fear of his own political status and career, keeping it, Pilate, he gave in to the people and he gave the order for Jesus to be crucified. It was a most cruel form of punishment to death, meant for Romans' worst offenders and criminals. Oh, as one put it, Pilate's condemnation was unjust, arbitrary, contrary to his own repeated declarations of Jesus innocent. It was a people-pleasing decision, contrary to God's law, established for governing authorities. It was, as this person put it, truthfully speaking, the most horrendous crime in all history. Pilate exhibits, you can say, the worst case of human irresponsibility. As God's representative with political and legal authority, Pilate did what he had no right and no authority to do. He was a judge who promoted gross injustice. In John 18:19, the passage we read, surely shows us this. No one can deny it. And now, we, with the church of all ages in all places, we confess this almost every Sunday, how Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. What is so very amazing, too, is how Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate always willingly and mostly always silently. Imagine. John 19, verse 9, proves it was silent many times. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 7, concerning Jesus, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Well, we are still on our first point, stating we hold to our confession about Jesus suffering under Pontius Pilate, for one, because that is something so scriptural to confess. You know, as Christians and as Christian church, we confess the Christ and Savior, not of our own imagination or our own ideas, but it is a gospel truth proclaimed to us in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And so there's rock solid basis for our confession of faith concerning Christ Jesus, also that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, for it is grounded and founded on nothing else but Holy Scripture alone. This is what makes for the divine authority and weight and value to what we confess. Is that not what every true and living Christian acknowledges, including us here today? Do you teach your children, you believe what you believe, because that's what the Bible says. This is our authority. Well, let's now move on to our secondary point. And see, a second reason that we confess as Christian church, together and individually, that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Not only for scriptural reasons do we acknowledge this, but also, you might say, for historical reasons. We confess this regularly as part of our Christian testimony. And this admittedly is not stated as such in the catechism's single question and answer on this topic, but interestingly, it is given as a reason in a catechism that John Calvin wrote back in 1541, the so-called Geneva Catechism. Calvin instructs there in question and answer 56 that the name of the governor under whom Jesus suffered was added to make us certain of the history. And he adds to let us know that Jesus' death was connected with condemnation, official condemnation. What Calvin meant with to make us certain of the history is to say that linking Jesus' suffering and death with this person, Pontius Pilate, helps confirm to us Jesus was a real human being who lived in real time and who endured real suffering, especially before and after his trial
as unjust as that trial was. You see, mentioning Pontius Pilate every time in the Confession of Faith, whose existence and activities as Roman judge in AD 26 to 36 is historically well documented, it all helps us as Christians be more aware we are not, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1:16, we are not following cunningly devised fables when we make known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. No. But this is all historical fact and truth. Saying he suffered under Pontius Pilate reminds us, as someone said to me yesterday, there is no myth involved in Jesus' person and work. It helps us demythologize Jesus, as he is often considered just as a myth. You may know too how in the early church even, the church was threatened and plagued by the heresy of Docetism and Gnosticism, which heresies promoted the idea that Jesus wasn't really a physical being at all. These false teachers, they taught that Jesus was just a spirit and a force of sorts at best, but no actual human being like us, sin accepted. You see, they didn't believe Jesus was someone who lived in actual time, who could be seen and touched, and who could feel pain and suffer death even. No, what these false teachers said, if Christ suffered, he was not divine. And if he was God, he could not suffer. So they refused, you see, to bow to the miracle and the mystery of Jesus' incarnation, God come in the flesh. And now you see with the church, us too, confessing the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, that Jesus suffered and was in fact crucified under Pontius Pilate. That adds historical reality to it all. You know, it's good to stress this today, too. We live in an age where we will deny even the Holocaust, a historical event of less than 100 years ago, less than 70 years ago. In connection with Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again, we are confessing, congregation, to the greatest wonder that took place in history and to what is truly the center of the history of all the world. And confessing Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, a man of whom you can also read in the history books of the Romans and of the world, that helps confirm this is not pie in the sky type teaching. This is not fiction. This is not just philosophical theology. This is history. No, the Christian faith about the Christian Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we could say, is the most realistic and historically based faith you ever can find. Be encouraged every time you confess the Apostles' Creed or Nicene Creed. You are not following some fairy tale religion, but one that is rooted and grounded both in the mind of God from eternity and in the actual data and events and facts of history in time. Today still, there are people who say they hold to the so-called truth of the gospel, but just in a super spiritual realm of sorts, in a way disconnected from actual physical history. While confessing that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, every time again we confront that heresy. Confessing that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate gives actual date and time and reality to the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ, and then pronounces the truth over against the lie of Docetism and Gnosticism, other isms as well. Thank God for a real Jesus in a real time, coming for sure for our real needs and coming to bring real salvation for real sinners like us of ourselves. And mentioning now salvation, real salvation for real sinners, giving up to our third main point. In connection with confessing, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. We confess this not only for scriptural reasons and historical reasons, but for salvation reasons. To bring out all the much more the wonder of salvation through Jesus' sufferings. For here, let me ask you, what is the central, most wonderful gospel truth about Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Is it not that Jesus was condemned to suffer and to die as the just for the unjust? Yes, in the place of sinners like us, who deserve to suffer and die for our sins. We deserve the severe judgment that Jesus took upon Himself. We thought last week about Peter saying in 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ also once suffered for our sins. Yes, as the just for the unjust. Well, Jesus' official trial before this Pontius Pilate and is being officially condemned to crucifixion, though declared different times by Pilate as totally innocent of the charges brought against him, don't you see how this brings out all the more? Jesus truly took on Himself, in the sinner's place, the punishment for sin due to us. Behind the official condemnation laid upon Jesus, while at the same time there's a testimony of His official innocence that Pilate repeatedly confirms, we have a picture, congregation, of what the gospel is all about in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered and died, not for His own sins, but as substitute for sinners in the place of His people, as many as repent and believe on Him. It is, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate as judge, as He, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal or earthly judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Now there is mystery in all this. And we need to think of that. Well, think of it. Pilate, in some unfathomable way, in his office, he represented God as governor and judge. And in spite of the fact now that Pilate's judgment to condemnation and crucifixion here for Jesus was so wrong on his part, yet in and with it all, God was supernaturally, in an overruling way, giving His divine righteous verdict on His Son as sin bearer. And Jesus Christ also willingly submitted to that verdict, giving Himself a ransom for men. Condemned in the sinner's place, He stood as the perfectly righteous, innocent one. Yes, to make full atonement for sin, for undeserving, guilty, vile sinners like you and me. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate as a just substitute for unjust sinners to bring about perfect reconciliation between God and man through His once-for-all perfect sacrifice for sin. Oh, that's the heart of the Christian gospel message, isn't it? And it's amazing, actually, how much discussion there has been, and there still is, taking place about the relationship between Pilate's judgment, and that of God. I was struck with reading about this past week in one commentary of the Catechism, quote, "No human has yet been able to explain the precise relation between God's actions and Pilate's, between divine sovereignty and human responsibility." Most attempts in this regard to try to explain it all fail, because trying to explain it all, we end up emphasizing one point while minimizing the other. And think indeed of how mysterious and awesome this is. How God can even use human disobedience and gross irresponsibility, as Pilate showed, to somehow still fulfill and bring out all the more His perfect salvation plans and purposes and righteous judgment. If you think about it, it's nothing short of a mystery and something unfathomable to us. God is never the author of sin. But He can use anything and anyone for His holy purposes. And we confess with Jesus suffering under Pontius Pilate, God was powerfully overruling human sin and unjust rulers to accomplish His holy purposes and His plan of Christ's condemnation and crucifixion in the place of sinners like us, so to accomplish his people's holy, gracious, just, perfect acquittal before God. Thus, God achieves, congregation, his sovereign, gracious purposes. His amazing grace and power and wisdom and righteousness. Here, let me quote also what John Calvin writes in the Institute. He says there, quote, "The transfer of our condemnation to Christ was essential for our acquittal before the judgment seat of God. And this is our acquittal. The guilt that held us liable for punishment has been transferred to the head of the Son of God." Isaiah 53, verse 12. "And we must, as Calvin above all, remember this substitution, lest we tremble and remain anxious throughout life, as if God's righteous vengeance against sin, which the Son of God has taken upon himself, still hung over us." What is being said here by Calvin is that Pilate's official doing and verdict in the trial of Jesus is at the same time God's doing somehow. By God's gracious, marvelous design and power, with Jesus' condemnation and substitution taking place under Pilate as the just for the unjust, as Savior of sinners, even though Pilate's actions were so sinful and unjust. The more you ponder this, do you see with me what a wonder this all is? Think of God so working and so planning all things to make so plain and official and wonderful the gospel of salvation for us, that Jesus suffered the severe judgment we deserve, that we might escape it for real forever. And isn't it just astounding to think about this, too, how God was so working. He was working on his gospel promises and plans also with Pilate. When sinful mankind was so evil in opposition against Christ, God's only Son, his dearly beloved Son, come to be Savior. Think of that. With the trial of Jesus before Pilate, you could say all the world at that time was so moved against Christ and in revolt against Christ. Both Jew and Gentile, both covenant people of God and pagan peoples of the world, they were against Christ. Think of the religious Jews, so sickly corrupt and wickedly hypocritical too in their bringing Jesus to trial before Pilate with all their false accusation against him. I find in this regard John 18:28 so telling and so convicting. What do we read there? The Jewish leaders brought Jesus to Pilate for to condemn him to death. But we read, "They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." Oh, do you hear what this is saying? This tells us they were so particular about not defiling themselves in regards to a ceremonial law, while they were at the same time most wickedly persistent in committing the greatest and most awfulest and darkest of moral crimes ever possible. All religious mankind at best of ourselves is yet so blindly corrupt and deceitful beyond words. Have you been convicted of that even for yourself? At the same time, think of this trial where you, in a sense, have the world at its best, as I said. This was a good court to go to if you had to go to court. As I mentioned, this trial was not a backwards trial before some unknown judge with no judicial system in place. No, rather, Jesus' trial took place before the best and the highest courts by a renowned Roman judge with quite the credentials. See yet how this professional judge acted so wickedly out of selfish self-interest when he delivered Jesus out to be crucified. Oh, in this vile setting of so much ungodliness and evil and hypocrisy and hatred toward Jesus, indeed to all mankind, God, you see, still led off in this to have Jesus as the innocent one stand condemned in the sinner's place, in your and my place, as many as believe. So he was condemned and sent to Calvary. I say how amazing this is, and what
endless reasons to stand still, congregation, and to worship our Savior God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also that Jesus willingly and humbly and completely, quietly, graciously gave Himself over to all this, to bear this condemnation as a just for the unjust, even to the death of the cross. What a wonder of amazing grace and love towards sinners like us this so demonstrates and proves. Are you struck by it? With me, humble worship, praise to God. That's our fourth point. We confess Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate that we might all the more be filled with praise and worship before our God, our Savior God. Do you praise and worship God for Jesus, or that He suffered under Pontius Pilate? How important that all of us, yes, each here in church too today, truly repent of sin and trust in this Jesus of Nazareth, taken and arrested and tried in Gabbatha, Pilate's judgment hall. You know, without faith in Him, in the Savior, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to praise Him. And not to be converted, not to be trusting and following after this Jesus Christ who suffered under Pontius Pilate, you know, it means still to be in with your own sins and sinfulness before God. It means that you should continue so to live and die. You will perish forever under God's holy and just condemnation against you as a sinner before Him. And you will have to bear the severe judgment that we are exposed to by nature if you will not receive Jesus who bore it in the sinner's place. As I read this week, in charity, this needs to be stated in all clarity, time and again. Maybe you heard about this football player from the Broncos, the quarterback, Tim Tebow. I don't know what all to think about him, but he's openly confessing the Christian faith and ridiculed for it. Among other things, he states very clearly, quote, "If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are going to spend eternity in heaven. If you don't, you're going to spend eternity in hell." Well, he's speaking the truth. And we need to recognize that. There's no in-between category, as is so much promoted. There is no miscellaneous. There's no third gate. No third road. No third kind of traveler. No third destination. If Christ is not bearing the severe judgment for you, you are going to bear it yourself. In reference to this, then, how do you respond to Jesus who suffered under Pontius Pilate? Do you praise Him? What? Really praise Him? Pilate, we know from history, because of just too many irresponsible, temperamental, unjust, and violent ways of his, he was eventually removed from office as judge and governor. History is not totally clear what happened to him afterwards, but there is the strongest support saying he was not only banished by the emperor to some remote area, but that there he committed suicide. And the point is, while trying to gain the whole world for himself, rejecting and despising this Christ Jesus, Pilate died a hopelessly guilty sinner, one who cannot stand on his own before the judgment seat of Christ in the last judgment day. And the Savior also with this sermon is surely calling us to make sure not to so perish in sin and unbelief, but to call upon this Christ that we confess every Lord's Day, looking to Him to save you too from the just condemnation you deserve of yourself, and to save you and have you acquitted forever. Yes, justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Will you listen to this gospel then, each and all? Oh, don't we want the whole world to hear it and listen to it? Why? Because we know, don't we? Listen, all who confess their sins and trust this Jesus alone as their Savior, they may know from Jesus also suffering under Pontius Pilate. They may know, we may know what Paul says in Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Likewise in John, 1 John 1 verse 9. of Jesus somewhere in the past is time, you may know for sure, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is not the great comfort and joy of all true believers, especially also when you are sometimes so convicted of your own sins and sinfulness before the Holy God. Why emphasize Jesus' suffering under Pontius Pilate? Well, because among other things, it helps make clear the scriptural basis of our salvation and the historical reality of our salvation in Christ. And it highlights the great heart and center of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it brings down so much reason to praise the Lord our God for Jesus Christ. In summary, it gives so much more reason to be filled with such awe and adoration for God our Savior and His wondrous works and ways when Jesus Christ comes to be Savior of sinners. Indeed, thinking of it all, must you not say with me, dear congregation, in the words of the Apostle Paul, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? Truly of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Yes, especially also for that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. It gives every reason for God's people to shout once and again, Hallelujah! What a Savior!